Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I
long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Let us pray and thank God for this day. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we want to thank you for the word, Father, but we want to praise you for this day and for what you have given us this day. Because, Father, we all have life. We thank you for that. We thank you for our food for the day and our dwelling place. And Lord, for our work. But most of all, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ here to become our sacrifice, to take our sins, sickness, and diseases to the cross, to do away with them, so that we would not have to carry them, Father, and that we could have life and have it more abundantly here on this earth as we dedicate and give our lives to you to use as you will in order to get the work done, Father, that you need and want done here on this earth. Now, Father, as we begin your word this evening, let thy power travel with it so that it does not go out and come back void. Now, Father, we ask all of this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the sixth chapter of Romans to begin with. And we'll see just how far God will take us, how far the Holy Spirit will take us, and what He will share with us. Open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the truth of this God's Word. And Father, we do praise you. And we do thank you, Father. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. chapter 6, Romans, verse 1. What shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Number 2. God answers that question here in number 2. Paul does. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now you have come to a point in your life to where the Spirit and God is considering you as being dead unto sin. If you are one that has been fulfilling things that need to be done for forgiveness and for salvation. And we do that by going to the Lord Jesus Christ, by accepting him, and by repenting unto him, and him forgiveness of our sins. And we know that when we go to him, if we go in honesty and sincerity and ask him for forgiveness for our sins, they're forgiven. The word says so. The word doesn't contradict itself. Although a lot of them like to say it does, and they like to take a few verses here, a verse there, and a verse over here, and twist and turn it and take away from it and add to it to make it say what they want it to say. But when you study God's word as it's recorded, you find out it doesn't. And you find out a lot of things about yourself that you may not like. That will make you shed tears even. Think about those things. Now, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You see, you're sharing. When you go to him and you repent, you invite him into your life. Because at that point, it needs to be where you let him know that that life is his. And he can do with it what he wants. That you're there to be used for his purpose, his will, and his way. And now, there's a lot of controversy about baptism. But you see, when you go to God's word, you find out that there's no reason for controversy. You take it as it tells you. Plan of salvation for all of us. We have been through that since we started this study. Because you find it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Gives it to you. Exactly what you need. And it does come more or less kind of in steps. It can, in some cases, some will get it all at the same time, but most don't, because they don't have the understanding to accept it. And God will not give you something that you are not willing to use. Now, you may not understand a lot of the use, but you're willing to do use and do what God tells you to do. Now, it comes out there that we've been baptized and dead as death. That's why we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We are being baptized in Him. And as we go on, you're going to hear more of why. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. That's why when we do baptism, it's done by immersion. You don't bury something by sprinkling a little dirt on their head. They're covered. We're putting the ground and covered. And that's what happens when you're being baptized. When you go under that water, you are being buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been taught and understand what is happening and why you are baptized. And if you haven't, then it's not doing you any good anyway. You see, all things is for your good. But something you know nothing about or understand, it's not doing you any good. And how it works. Now, you're being buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, His resurrection. Now, as you are raised up out of that water, you are being raised in His resurrection. You're being raised with Him in His resurrection. And then what does God tell you in His word that you should be doing? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Everything changes. It can't be this going in and out, in and out, in and out. No, because we are to become to the point of being born again, because without being born again, we're not going to get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of John, 3rd chapter, will tell you that. Now, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. You see, it's nothing you do. It is what He has done. We accept Him. And we accept the fact of what He did and what it has done for you and I. And we are to walk therein. Now, six, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's letting us know. We've put on his death. We've been crucified with him. We've been buried with him. We've been raised with him in his resurrection. And we are not to serve sin. But you see, there's one more thing that needs to be. And that is the infilling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That is when you have become born again and you are sealed with the seal of Almighty God, which is the anointing and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in you. Oh, no, it don't take all that to be born again. Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, it does. It takes all of that and more. You know, most of the time we don't stop and accept what the Word of God tells us. But you see, Gospel of John in chapter 3, verse 9 tells you exactly about being born again. It tells you, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. It don't say you might not. It says that you do not commit sin. Why? For his seed, that Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Ain't no might or maybe's nowhere in them. They go to adding all of that and using other verses and twist and turn them, and they bring in maybes and mites and things. No. And there in verse 10, it goes on to tell you, says, in this, the children of God are manifest. You're manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We'll be getting into that later on, and into more depth of it. But you see, there are things that we must do, and we must keep, and walk in order to be that child of the living God. And most don't want to do it. A lot of it is because they're afraid. Well, you know, I need this to live, and I need that to live, and I need this to live. And you know, right now I've got ways of getting everything I need and all. But if I quit doing this, then I don't know. You see, this is fear talk. Then I don't know how things are going to work out for me. Because maybe God is not going to be able to take care of me. God's able to do exactly what he tells you. And he said he would supply all your needs. But we need to be doing his will, his way, and his work. not ours. Now, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You became dead when you was baptized and buried with Christ. If you was taught to where you knew what was happening at the time you were baptized, what was happening to you? If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now you was buried with him, you was resurrected with him. He forgave your sins, cleaned you up, made you white as snow. And then you become that born-again child of God. You have been sealed with that Holy Spirit living within you that gives you the anointing, the authority, and the power to use the name of Jesus to perform everything he has asked of you. And you don't have to be afraid of anything Satan wants to throw your way. Give him a black eye. Now, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, he's telling you everything you need to know here in this sixth chapter of Romans to become that born-again child of the living God. Giving you all the information of how and why and everything. Now, 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It don't mean that Satan's not going to tempt you with sin. But you don't accept it. You don't let it in. You tell Satan, you take that sin, you keep it, and you leave. In Jesus' name, you go and take that sin with you. I don't live for you. I live for the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Everything about us belongs to him if we are that child of God that has been born again. Our eyes, our mouth, our ears, our legs, our feet, our hands and arms all belong to him. And this body that we're walking around in, he's in there also. He and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father are all in there also. That's his word, not mine. Now, he goes on to tell us there in 13, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Everything about you belongs to God. 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin cannot rule you any longer. And we know why, because we read that just a few minutes ago, back in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, didn't we? Because when you become born again, you were sealed right then with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And he told you that because of that, you cannot sin. Now, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And God said, God forbid. That lets us know there ain't no way that we can commit sin and be under sin. 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you're going to continue on in sin and commit those sins, you're looking at a spiritual death. That means you are separated from God. And if you are separated from God, when you step out of this life, you know where you're going. You're going to hell. Exactly. With Satan and his demonic bunch. Now, 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, which is this word of God. This is our roadmap on how we travel and walk. And we take it the way God had it recorded. We don't add to, take away, twist and turn it to make it say, well, no, you know, he said that we were born with that sinful nature. And you just, everybody sins, and you've just got to have some sin in your life. We're hearing this from church after church after church. And that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. And they're on the wrong road. Now, what doctrine do you need to belong to? This of the Bible, the Lord's doctrine, known also as the Apostles' Doctrine. And we're told that outright in God's Word. We'll get to that one day. Now, 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You've been freed from sin. So you can't be messing around with it. And you became the servant of righteousness. And that's what you are to walk in. And to walk in that, you have to be living and walking in the Word of God and in and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, whereas you have yielded your member servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. You walked unclean, you walked in sin. Now you were freed from it, leave it alone. Now you yield yourselves and your members unto righteousness, unto holiness of Almighty God. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. 21. What truth had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Because you see, if you are a child of God, you are ashamed of all those sins that you've committed before. And you don't do them no more. For the end of those things is death. This death he's talking about is that separation from God. 21 is talking about that. Now, 22. Here we go. Just what I said a few minutes ago. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Oh, glory to God. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit, for the things you've done for mankind and for each one of us that is your child. Now, the last verse of chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It all has to be through him. That's why you keep hearing me tell you, and I'll go on telling you. You'll be told time after time after time, thousands of times. You can't go around him, under him, or over him. You have to go through him. Chapter 7, got 25 verses. Well, we're going to get started with it. See how far we can get. Verse 1, chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. The law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, he's talking about a different kind of law here. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Now you see, we're talking now about God's law, not the Mosaic law. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. As long as her husband is living and is her divorce, she cannot be married to another without committing adultery. That's God's word. I just read it to you. But if he is dead, then she is free to remarry, providing she's marrying a man that doesn't have a living wife. Because if he's got a living wife, then they're both still taking on adultery. Four. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. This is why the Lord calls us his bride. He calls, spiritually speaking, it's like a marriage. Because you see, it is a covenant. And that's why we are to bring forth fruit in all, and to live and to work. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But you see, we got rid of that when we went to the Lord Jesus Christ, were baptized, and took on his death, his resurrection. 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. We are to serve God in newness of spirit, because we have to walk in the spirit, and the spirit in us. 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. We're talking about God's law. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me as manner of circumstance, for without the law, sin was dead. You see, that's why God gave Moses the law. That let us know right from wrong and what was sin, that we should leave it alone. Nine, he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Talking about us, when we are first born. You see, we walked in that sin, in the sinful life, walked in darkness until we went unto the Lord Jesus Christ. 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and the just and good. But you see, we've got to get to the point to where we are fulfilling all of that, just as Jesus did. And we do that by going through him and living this word of Almighty God. Now, 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. You want to play with it? If you do, it's just going to become more and more and more sin, bringing more sin upon you. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's what we were. But those of us that are the children of God are no longer that. 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But you see, Paul here is expressing to the people and to you and I his life before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was raised as a Pharisee, he knew the law, and yet he was bringing back people that were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ under arrest to be imprisoned and even given death. Now, Satan, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And as long as we are standing on our own, we'd be just like Paul here. 19. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. You see, the good things that we can do, when we're walking in darkness, we're not going to do them. But the evil which I would not, Paul says, that's what I do. Now, we know Paul's life changed too. He become a born-again child of God and was picked by God himself to become the apostle to the Gentile nations, which is our apostle. Now, come on down here, 23. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So if you're walking as Paul was walking at that time, who's going to deliver you from the body of that death? He gives us the answer here in the last verse of chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And you see, so many take that verse and they'll turn it, add to it, and take away from other verses to say, you see, he said that he's going to serve the law of sin with his flesh. Now, that's all right. No, it's not. And that's not what he's saying. Jesus Christ, when you hold on to him and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, you're not going to go out here and willfully commit sin. You're not going to go out here and do anything willfully that you know would be displeasing to God. We're going to stop here for the service this evening. And God willing, we can all come together in the morning and be back into his word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this, your word. But Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we do know that without them we are nothing. We're useless to you, to ourselves, or anyone else. Don't let us walk in darkness, Father. Keep us in thy light, making us stronger each and every day. Father, hold us in health, good health, healed and in a body that's whole, so that we can go forth in this world and bring back the fruit unto you, Father, by bringing them that are walking in darkness to the light, that light being Jesus Christ, for their salvation, for their coming to righteousness, for their coming to be a child of the living God. Father, work with all of us in this ministry. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. Not to build us up, for us to boast that we are something, but use us in great and mighty ways so that we can bring that praise and honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him unto you. And the power of the Holy Spirit that we have, Father. Let us always use it to help someone that is in need. Make us walk, Father, in the steps of Jesus. Always looking for those that are in need and giving them all the help that we can give. For those that are out there that are in sick, distressed, pray for their healing, the wellness and the wholeness of their bodies, of their minds, of their heart. I pray that they will never stray until they reach the place of being born again and becoming your child. Watch over us now, Father, as we prepare to separate for the evening and the night. Let us rest through the night. Bring us together come morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Father, and back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Take care.